You know, since Andy is no longer going to camp with us, our insurance premiums have really gone down. I think every year that he came, he broke something. Did you not break a leg one year? Where'd he go? Oh, your sister. I just have nightmares about that family. All I know is every time they showed up, something bad seemed to happen. Something was broken. Could you put the words to the song, the soprano words, back up? We'll just leave them on the board. That's basically my outline. It's pretty simple. When you look at this song, I'm going to give you 3 points this evening. This song says, number one, love one another. That's a simple command. It's simple to say that. But how many of us do that? It's easy to say things, but putting them into application is where the problem usually begins. The second thing is it gives you the source. God is love. You know, that's 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. And when we look at that point, we'll look at the very nature of God. And I don't think that we comprehend as deeply as we should what it means when you're saying God is love. And then I look around and I say, I don't love you. Well, how does that work as a Christian? And then the last point that I want to look at is he who does not love is not of God. And then we're going to go to 1 John, if our time permits us, and we're going to read a bunch in 1 John. I just sat down this afternoon and took my pen, and every time it talks about love, and it talks about brotherly love. And don't you just absolutely love 1 John 3 and verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a child of God? And how is that connected with the very fact that God is love? Let's go back and look at these 3 points. First of all, it's a simple command. Love one another. You got your Bibles? Look at John 13, 34 and 35. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Notice verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if, and you need to draw a big circle around that little bitty word, if you have love one toward another. How many problems in the church tonight could be resolved if we could simply obey this command? Love one another. I guarantee you, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, this is an average, ordinary audience in relationship to the body of Christ, and I've never been anywhere where there's an exception to this. But there are some people in this auditorium that don't like each other. Sure there are. Do you know what she said about you? She told me right before church began. Is that not how it goes? And you know, it's not just the teenagers. We could get over here and I saw her out the other day. You should have seen what she had on. I was embarrassed for her. Well, you know, that may be true. I don't know. But is that the way that in love we should handle a situation? Is that the way that as brothers and sisters in Christ that are commanded to love one, is that the way we should handle it? You know, remember we have choices in these things. Joshua 24 and verse 15, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Matthew 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Even though it's a command, we have choices. And you and I are going to determine whether or not, and we're going to get to this last point, and this last point is where the rubber meets the road. But we're going to see if we are the symbol of Christianity that we're supposed to be. And how is it judged? Love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one toward another. Let me show you a difficult passage. I brought it up just a minute ago when we were talking about Matthew chapter 5 and we're talking about the Beatitudes. If you don't have Franklin Camp's material on the Beatitudes, you need it. It's the best I've ever seen. It's the best I've ever studied. It's the best explanation of what the Beatitudes are and should be in our life. And by the way, if you don't apply Matthew 5 and verse 3 correctly, Brother Camp says there's no sense in going to verse 4 because you don't get it. And if you don't get it, there's no sense in going on. What does Matthew 5 and verse 3 mean? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's not poor-spirited. It's not lacking spirit. It's not having the spirit beaten out of you, driven out of you. Or anything. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about an attitude of selfishness versus selflessness. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Who are we without Christ? Can you save yourself? Is God going to save you separate and apart from what He's done? What does it mean? Brother Camp says it means, poor in spirit means you empty yourself of self. You have got to put God on the throne of your life. You look in John, is it John chapter 20? The study of the book of John is an interesting study in the fact that you have two different classes of individuals that are discussed in the book of John. And you see it all the way through. He came into his own received him not. That's what Christ said of the Jews. But when he said that of the Jews, he was speaking to fleshly Israel. He was speaking predominantly to the religious rulers of that day and age, because if you go on down in chapter 1 and you get down to about verse 12, you're going to see that there are those that are going to follow Him. And they're called the common people, the common individuals. So there's a difference there. And you get all the way through the book of John and you hear Thomas. You know who Thomas is, don't you? If I said, describe Thomas, how would you describe him? Thank you. She wins the prize. Doubting. And you know, I'm ashamed of myself because I'm a preacher that has probably promoted that concept of Thomas. We've always said, there's doubting Thomas. Because Thomas said, unless I see the scars, unless I put my hand in the wound and put my fingers in the wounds of your hand, I'll not believe. And you know what? I've already done it to you this evening. Have you got a Bible? And look, all of you open Bibles. And I'm quoting passages and you're turning. And you know what that's called? Proofing what's being said. We're not supposed to be, but we are supposed to be as the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. In that with readiness of mind, they search the Scriptures daily to see if those things were so. Isn't that what you demand? I know that's what Chris says when he stands up here. Prove. Don't take my word for it. Prove it. Prove it from God's inspired word. Well, what did Thomas do? Thomas said, I want proof. So I've kind of had to rethink my position on Thomas. Yes, he was questioning. But you know, when he found that, you know what he said? My Lord and my God. And do you know that is the first time in the Scriptures, the first time that it was used in an appropriate sense. You know what he's saying? He said, I got it. I know who Jesus Christ is. He's my Lord and He's my God. Now let's make applications to ourselves tonight. Love one another. What does it involve? It involves Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. Unless I empty myself of self, I'm going to get in my way. I'm going to hinder in what I should do. You read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's called the Sermon on the Mount. What if somebody smites you on the right cheek? What are you supposed to do? Turn the other cheek. Guys, you ever been in a fight? I won't let your mamas and daddies look. When that first lick was passed, did you turn the cheek? No, you didn't. You don't have to answer the question. You know the answer to that question. What's our thinking? How do we react? And here's the heart of the matter. Who are we in relationship to turning the other cheek? Going the second mile. Take your Bibles. Into chapter 5. Here's this word again. Verse 43. Ye have heard that it have been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Andy, you're teaching the Sunday morning class. And you've got two or three of these guys who are in the National Guard, or maybe they're in the regular army, or they've just gotten a tour, had to do a tour in Afghanistan. And I sat in a class one time with a young man who just returned from Afghanistan, and he said, would you explain that to me while I'm holding a rifle in my hand? Yow! Wish you hadn't asked me that question. That's so easy, I'm going to let somebody else answer that question. Read the passage. Keep it in the context and listen to what it says. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that spitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. You need to pencil in 1 John 3 and verse 1 right there. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Now, how do I know if I'm that child, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven? For He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? That's easy. somebody's patting you on the back and, oh, you're marvelous and you're wonderful and you hit a home run or you kicked a ball or you hit a goal or you did all A's in school. That's just wonderful. That's easy to kind of like that guy. But what about the ones that want to spit at you? Verse 47, and if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? The question that Christ was asking, and remember, He's sitting in a scenario where you have the Jewish leaders of that day and age, the religious leaders that are listening in on these conversations. You're even going to have His disciples one time rebuke Him and say, the Pharisees are listening. Don't you understand that? But if we just salute the ones we love, if we're only good to the ones that we love, how are we any different than anybody else in this world? Isn't that the way the world reacts to love? Then here's the kicker. Look at verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect. Everybody who's perfect, raise their hand. Get my hand down real quick. I don't want to even insinuate or imply that. Folks, first of all, don't take this passage out of context. Be ye therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Perfect in what sense? In love. He didn't start talking about love in verse 43 and end it up in verse 48 and say, well, I'm no longer talking about love. No, He's talking about love. Our love is to be perfect. What are we supposed to do for our enemies? We're supposed to pray for them. Does that mean a soldier does not have the right to defend himself? Absolutely not. There's two different subject matters. And you need to keep them in the right context. You know, some folks get the passage of turning the other cheek and they become pacifists to the point that if they're walking down the street and somebody wants to steal all their money and take their car and whatever the case might be, that you just have to give it all to them. Well, that may be the smartest thing to do. I don't know. But does the Bible not give a Christian the right to defend himself? Surely it does. But in this context, He's talking about the subject of love. And He's talking about a spiritual love that we're supposed to have for everybody. Do you not believe that that's exactly what Christ said in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Am I so narrow-minded in my teachings that I would ever look at somebody because they're different, their skin color is different from mine, and I would say they're not worthy of the gospel? What a hypocrite. What a hypocrite. Men and women have souls. It doesn't make any difference what color they are. One color is not superior to other color. And Jesus Christ died for all. Now, if you'll keep this song in its context, first and foremost, it's talking about brotherly love. Let brotherly love continue, is what the Hebrew writer said. And love needs to start right here. And if you got a problem with somebody in this auditorium this night, this evening, you need to settle it. And you need to settle it the way the Bible says too. You know, we need to grow up as Christians. And one thing it says, if you got aught against your brother, do what? Go to him. I'd love to have a show of hands, but I won't. But I'd love to see how many people practice that principle. You know what I'm usually told? When I tell somebody, you need to go and you need to tell that person, well, I wasn't the one that said that. I didn't do what was wrong. He needs to come to me. Well, now, if he doesn't even know he's done anything wrong to you, how in the world are you going to fix this problem? Get on over. Do you love him? Do you love your wife? If you got a problem, do you look at her and say, I got a problem? But if you don't, you're fixing to have bigger problems. Problems don't run away. They don't hide. That's not the way you deal with issues. You don't yell and scream at them. But in love, you know, if Andy had offended me, as a brother, I would say, Andy, man, I love you, but you hurt my feelings. And if he's the Christian he ought to be, if he's the Christian man that I think he is, you know what he's going to say? Man, I'm sorry. Is that problem solved? That problem's solved. We can go on somewhere else. We can quit squabbling. It's a simple command. It's hard to put into practice. Better hustle. Time's gone already. Second thing, God is love. That's 1 John 4:7-8. God is love. But I think a principle that you can see which applies here is found in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Wherein God willingly more abundantly to serve or to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, and that's hard for me to say, of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, that term immutable means unchanging. Get this principle. The nature of God is unchanging. Now, what do you know about the nature of God? There's one thing you know about the nature of God. God is love. That's not going to change. That's not going to change if you're sincere or insincere. That's not going to change if you're faithful or unfaithful. It's not going to change. God is love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Romans 5:8-9, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's God's love. Now, if you want to see how you're supposed to apply that to our life today, then you need to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and let the Bible make application for you. Here is love. Love, verse 4, suffereth long. You ever get aggravated with your mate? I could sit up here and lie and say, me and Cindy, we just got it perfect. We don't ever fuss or feud or anything of that nature. But I can't even tell that big a lie. But you know what? We work through it. Why? Because love suffereth long. It's enduring. It's patient. It's kind. That's one that's difficult. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, forgiving, forbearing one another. It's difficult. Do you have a difficult day? Maybe your boss gets on you and you didn't deserve it and you're aggravated and you don't stand up to him and say, hey! You know, you're out of line. You're my boss. You can fire me. You can do whatever you want to, but you're out of line. I didn't do this. I don't deserve. you know, we don't do that. So what do? Open the door. Our wife's been there all day. Hello. Hush. Well, boy, that kind business went out the door real quick, didn't it? Sometimes it's hard to put in practice the principles that God has given to us. Be kind. It envieth not. Vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not its own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. You're talking about a difficult one to live with, a difficult one to live by as a Christian. For everybody who participates in gossip, you're violating the principle of love right here. Let me tell you what I heard about Andy. You're really going to like this. If somebody approaches you and says, I need to tell you something about so-and-so, what should you say? Don't want to hear it? Hey, you got all against that brother? You need to be talking to him, not me. You won't have to do that but once or twice, and you will no longer be in the gossip circle. None. You're out. Kicked out. As a preacher, I don't ever get to hear any gossip. I'm telling you. Folks, they just won't. And that's fine with me. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. And then this song, the bass part, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Get the concept of fact that God does not change. God is love. That's the very nature. Now, when you look at the fact that the source of our love is God, and that the command is for us to love, then when the world looks at us, that's what they should see. My question for us this evening is that what they see? Is that what they see? The last point, when you look at this, he who loves is born of God. He who does not love does not know God. You don't know God. I think that's the symbol. I think that's John 13:34 and 35 in particular, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one toward another. Is that not Matthew 5 and verse 16? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. It is our responsibility in this community for the community to see Christ in us. I've got 6 or 7 minutes. Get your Bibles real quick. We're going to read 1 John. Right before 2 John. Right after 2 Peter. I'm just trying to help them. Let's start in chapter 2 and verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother, he is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in the darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now, do you see that? You see that term about love versus hate? Do you see this about us as brothers and sisters in Christ? I've always asked a question, especially in a classroom setting. And the question I think is pretty simple. You know, if we can't get along here on earth, how in the world do you expect to spend eternity? If Andy and I just, you know, we just hate each other. I despise to see him. Hey, in 30-something years of preaching, I got folks that wouldn't spit on me if I was on fire. I'm serious. And they call themselves brothers and sisters in Christ. I had to get out of one place of preaching because some folks didn't like me. And they set about to get me fired. And they did a good job. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Love goes both ways. Those folks despise me. I can see them all over Brotherhood still today. If they're in a group and I walk up and smile and stick my hand out, he'll shake my hand. If he's alone and nobody is watching, I can stick my hand out and I get this. To be honest with you, that's his problem. But it doesn't justify me to turn around and hate him. And until you're in that situation, until you get in a situation where a problem has arisen, and you're having to face these feelings dead on, what are we going to do with them? We struggle, don't we, as Christians? Isn't it easy to want to hold vengeance? Isn't it? Do you kind of say, one day, you know, one day, the shoe is going to fall, and I am going to love to be there. You see how many principles about love I've violated in one simple statement? Do not allow somebody else's wrongdoing to destroy your life. I believe Paul put it a little better than I did when he said, not in verse 21 of Romans chapter 12, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's hard to do, isn't it? But as children of God, that's something we must do. You know, these people that don't like me, you know what? I love them and I want them to go to heaven. I really do. I really do. I hope they'll change. Sometimes confronting folks and saying things, and you can say, I love you and I want you to change, and they might say, run up a tree and bark. But you have done what you need to do. And I believe that's exactly what John is talking about here. I'm not going to read verses 15, 16, 17, where he talks about love not the world, neither things of the world. I'm going to skip over to chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Skip down to about verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now, is this a serious matter? Can my hatred, can my disdain, and don't offer excuses. I've had folks say, yeah, but if you just knew what they did to me. I don't need to know what they did to you. I know what you and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, are supposed to do for them. Two wrongs don't make a right. He wronged me, so I get to wrong him. No. He wronged me. I've got to act right. That's love. That's doing what God would have me to do. That's different than the world, isn't it? That's opposite of what the world would do. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Whether you realize it or not, our economy is not good. And when a man comes into your office or a woman comes into your office and they've been accustomed to two pretty good salaries, their housing payments are based on two salaries, the automobiles they're driving are based on two salaries, and all of a sudden they're down to one, and their fear and their discouragement is evident. Does that not just kind of grab you in your heart? Do you not say, how can I help you? Do you not say, you know, what kind of work do you do? Maybe I know somebody. Let me make some phone calls. What can I do today to help you? Learn those words. Because if you love people, you're going to use them over and over and over again. I don't have time. My time's up. I'm going to hush. But you go to chapter 4 and you start in verse 7 and you read all the way through the end of that chapter. I want you to look at verses 19, 20, and 21. We love Him because He loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother. That's our command this evening, to love one another. Is that what we're doing? God bless you. You've been a great crowd to teach and study with. I pray that God will bless you in every endeavor for good.